There's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. This morning, it's the 7th of March. We're going to start the show with, this familiar face.
The shadow knows.
Gonna have a double billing this first episode. Is the Three Ghosts. Its original air date was the 31st of October, 1937. And it will star Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston in The Shadow and Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lane. I'm sorry, I had that volume down a little bit. Again, original air date was Halloween, 1937.
I can't stand it, I tell you. Always at 9 o'clock it comes. But if I hear that horrible thing again, I'll go crazy. Oh, this awful house.
But it's quiet, my dear. Way out in the country like this, I can install my laboratory here as soon as I get around to it. As for these strange sounds, well, haunted houses have always fascinated me. I've always wanted to meet a ghost, shake hands with him, invite him to tea.
Stop talking like that. It's serious. Oh, I've tried to stand it for your sake, Arthur, but I don't know how much longer. My heart isn't strong and I... Hear it?
But that's only the wind, isn't it?
No. It always starts like that. You know it does.
Don't move. Listen.
Arthur, it's coming.
Ghost, eh? Well, we'll see. I'll meet him this time. I'll meet him halfway, too.
Stop!
Come, we'll both meet him. Give me your hand.
No!
Carolyn. Carolyn, it stopped. Can't you hear me? Goodness me. Has the shock killed her? No, her heart still beats. She's only fainted again. Just passed out again.
Turn the next corner, Lamont. It's that big house set on the hill.
May I ask, Margot, the reason for this late call on Carolyn's knee?
Oh, I'd like to know what's the matter with the poor woman. I got an awful shock when I saw her in town last week. She looks positively haggard. I never saw such a change come over a person.
Well, married life may not agree with her. She was a spinster for close to 40 years, wasn't she?
I know, but I think she was foolish. Carolyn has nearly $1 million in her own name. She didn't have to marry.
Yes, but right now I'm not the shadow. Remember, I'm just your patient chauffeur, darling. Lamont Cranston, in need of a rest from my famous mystery man role. That last adventure took a lot out of me, you know. Well, a marriage problem is hardly...
Seriously, though, nobody knows anything about this man she married. He came into town 6 months ago, met Carolyn in some accidental manner at the county fair, and proceeded to rush her off her feet. I've met him only once, but I don't like his looks.
Something sinister, I gather. Hence the shadow idea. Well, who is he anyway?
Professor Arthur Sneed, I believe he calls himself. He has a small office in town where he's supposed to be working on inventions or something. Well, here we are.
You're usually pretty level-headed, Margot, but don't let your aversion for this man we're seeing be too apparent. Really a place, isn't it?
I don't see any bell. I guess you're supposed to use the knocker. Here he comes.
Well, who is... Oh, it's you, Miss Lane.
Yes. Good evening, Professor Sneed. I hope we aren't too late.
Too late? Too late for what?
Why, I phoned Carolyn that we'd drop in just to say hello.
Well, she didn't tell me. Carolyn isn't feeling well at the moment. I'm sorry. Good night.
Oh, but please, I only want to see her for a moment. That is, unless it's something really serious.
Well, it isn't as serious as she pretends to think it is, but, well, come in.
Thank you. This is my friend, Lamont Cranston.
Come in. I'm very happy to see Mr. Cranston. I've heard a lot about him.
How do you do?
You say Carolyn is ill? She didn't mention it when I...
It came on suddenly. She's been in a nervous condition lately, but it's mostly imaginary. I made her go to bed.
Well, would it be all right if I saw
her? I suppose so. Go on up if you like.
Well, thanks. I'll only be a few minutes, Lamont.
What seems to be the trouble with your wife, Professor Sneed?
Oh, she's run down, I guess. Frightfully nervous. She has some absurd notion that this place is, well, haunted.
Haunted?
It's only the wind, of course, and the creaking of an old house.
Mm.
Ghosts. She keeps talking about ghosts. And I can't persuade her that there are no such things.
Of course, old houses have a habit of getting themselves haunted, Professor. As for myself, I'm not so sure there aren't such things as ghosts.
But surely, Mr. Cranston...
Oh, not the conventional sort, perhaps, but... I mean people's spirits. Souls, whatever you want to call them. Haunting the places where they've been unhappy.
Very interesting, I'm sure. But a lot of tosh. I put no stock in it.
No? I'm just noticing that rather rare book on the table, Professor. Neuroses of Death.
What?
If you're interested in that, I'm sure you must be interested in ghosts. I understand its morbid analysis of the factors of violent death are quite interesting.
What do you know about it?
Oh, I read all sorts of things, Professor.
Professor Sneed.
Oh, yes, Miss Lane?
Carolyn wants her sedative.
Oh, yes. I'll go up and give it to her. Did you find her comfortable, Miss Lane?
Well, I think Carolyn is seriously ill.
Yes, but more nerves than anything. Excuse me just a moment, won't you?
Lamont, there's something wrong here. I was afraid there was. I don't know what it is, but it's something terrible.
Well, what's the matter with Carolyn?
Well, she hardly recognized me, and she talks like one in a trance. As though she were in the grip of some deadly fear. When I suggested sending the doctor over, she shook her head. But I'm going to, just the same. I can't help feeling it's that man, her husband.
Yes, he isn't very pleasant, is he? His skin has an odd pallor. You see it on men who've spent some time in prison. There are many little traits of his behavior that interest me as a psychologist. Remarkable man.
But you don't know.
I don't know. But I think we'll investigate this more or less formally, Margot. I'll visit the professor tomorrow at his office in town. If there are ghosts involved here, perhaps the shadow can bring them to light.
Hello? Yes, Carolyn. Well, don't worry, my dear. I'll leave the office here at 5, and I'll be home before 6. Yes, I understand. Goodbye, dear. Well, who is it? Is that you, Miss White? Who's opening that door?
Don't get up, Professor. I'll close it after me.
What?
I thought I might find you in.
Who said that? Who are you?
Your conscience speaking, Professor. Or have you a conscience?
I'll show you what I've got.
excite yourself. I'm only a voice. A voice they call... Professor, have you ever heard of the Shadow?
The Shadow?
Yes. You seem to have heard of me.
What do you want?
I've come to warn you, Sneed.
Warn me? Warn me about what?
I know what you're doing.
What?
And I know how it's going to end. The end is death.
Death?
I have something here I'll toss in your lap. There. Do you hear it?
Why, you... Get out of here, I tell you.
See it? Look. It's half of a playing card. The Ace of Spades. When you find the other half, that will be the end.
Get out and leave me alone.
All right, Sneed, I'll go, but don't forget. The Shadow knows.
Trying to frighten me with his tricks. Oh, coming back, are you? Oh, it's you, Miss White.
There are two gentlemen here to see you, Professor Sneed.
Two gentlemen? Well, I'm not expecting...
I guess you may remember us, Professor Sneed.
Spike.
Your old friends, Spike Collins and Mr. Wilson here.
Yes, yes, of course. Please take those circulars on your desk, Miss White, and mail them at the post office right away.
Yes, sir.
Lock that door, right?
Okay.
Now, what are you staring at, Sneed? We ain't ghosts.
I thought you two were doing a stretch at Leavenworth.
Yeah, we were. We framed a getaway.
And now we come to see an old pal.
Well, now, listen, Spike. I'd help you if I could.
Nuts. But... We've been watching you, and we know your game. We ain't got no time to stall. This old dame you married has got plenty of...
I don't know what you're driving at.
Well, you'll know if we squawk about that dame you married out in Idaho that croaked without anybody knowing what was the matter with her.
Cards on the table, Steve. Is this one signed our money over to you?
Yes. She fixed her will in my favor.
Well, what are you doing to get her?
Well, she has a weak heart and...
I know. Playing ghost and scaring her to death, eh? Well, that's too slow, Sneed. I got a better scheme. We break into the house, stage a burglary, see? In a scuffle, the old dame gets shot, dead. It's quick.
No, no, you can't do that.
No, you'll see.
Spike Collins. Spike Collins. Wake up. Spike Collins.
What? Who's that?
Just a voice, Collins. The voice of your own thoughts coming to warn you. No one but you can hear me. Your friend Sneed is going to double-cross you tonight. Sneed is going to double-cross you. It's your move. Be there to prevent him. Be there in time. 6 o'clock. Be there.
The Shadow.
That was Act One of The Three Ghosts. Again, its original air date was the 31st of October, 1937, starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston and The Shadow, and Margot Lane was played by Agnes Moorehead. Now, we have this exciting number.
To join the Grand Hour Fan Club, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to The Grand Hour, Post Office Box 897, Medford, Massachusetts 02155. Membership includes a two-night stay in lovely Acapulco where the beaches are clear and, that's incorrect. Membership concludes a direct line to the Grand Hour where suggestions are taken and requests are given.
Yes, the Grand Hour Fan Club. We're gonna now. Excuse me, I'm trying to do some stuff here. We're gonna cut this short with the shadow. What's up here? There's another show following us, Peanut Butter and Jam, so I don't want to try and squeeze two shows in right away. So we're just going to stop it there, and I'll have a little preview of that show next week. The next we have our standard fare. Good old Jimmy Stewart.
Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
How's that, Alf? Short enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
I asked you if it was short enough for you.
Well, give me the mirror so I can take a look.
There you are. Well?
Don't look to me like you cut it at all.
Oh, now, Alf.
No, it's still there, ain't it? Hanging down the back of my neck.
Well, I figured you'd want to be in style. Fellow's in just the other day, come from Kansas City. Said that's the way all Easterners are having a haircut.
Well, I ain't no Easterner, and I don't aim to be spending a quarter every week for a shave and a haircut, so start slicing it off.
Okay. I need to get the head up. Oh,
sorry, Breezy. I reckon I ain't feeling up to snuff today.
Can't say as I blame you. I heard about town meeting last night.
Yeah.
You told them yet?
I don't see why everybody's in such a rush all of a sudden. You waited 40 years. A couple more hours ain't going to make no difference.
You're going to do it today then, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to do it today.
Poor old Gabe. Wonder how he'll take it. I'm sure glad it ain't me that has to break the news.
Stop talking about it, Breezy, and finish my hair.
Well, Gabe's a sensible man. He's not got hold of it again, you Alf. Seeing as how the whole town's agreed.
Well, the whole town don't know him like I do. I was here when he first come to Yellowcrest. I don't know if it wasn't for Gabe Starbuck, there wouldn't be...
Howdy, mister.
Paul.
You're next. It'll be a couple of minutes. Dodge City Papers there if you'd like to read it while you're waiting.
Thank you. Thanks.
Britt.
Now, you sit still.
Britt Ponsett.
Huh?
Don't you remember me, Britt?
Why, I...
Alf? Alf Crandall?
Alf? Oh, sure, I remember you. Well, what happened to your beard?
Breezy here shaved it off 3 years ago.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. A couple of the boys paid him to do it while I was asleep in the chair.
Is that so?
I ain't never forgiven you for that, Breezy.
You could have growed it back, Al.
Well, it wouldn't have been the same. Took me 25 years to get that stand of whiskers. Besides, once Maddie seen me without them, folks do say I look younger.
Well, you look so young, I hardly recognize you. That's...
Well, what about you, Britt? How's the world been treating you?
Oh, first rate.
You just hit town.
Yeah. I've been out on the Square Moon Ranch last month or so. I ran into a flock of sheep yesterday, and they gave me such a brotherly look, I decided it's high time I get a haircut.
Be right pleased to take care of you, Mr. Ponsett. Yeah, there. It ought to be short enough, Alf.
Well, feels like you got some of it off anyhow.
Just let me give you a little brush. All right, there you go. Oh, thanks. Sit right down, Mr. Bronson. Well, what'll it be? Shave and a haircut?
Haircut'll do it.
Well, you might as well have a shave, too, as long as you're here. I got the kettle on, the towels will be real hot. Why, you won't even feel the razor.
No, I don't think
so. No matter how good a man is at shaving himself, it's not the same as having a barber do it.
Oh,
now, you
no,
take
no.
having a horse shod. You don't do that yourself unless it's an emergency.
No,
you go to an expert.
That's
well, sir,
right,
it seems to me a man's face ought to be as important as his horse.
Yes, but
it seems to me
right.
that when a fella wants to get a...
All right, Brady, you can give me a shave, too.
Yes, sir, Mr. Fonzie, yes, sir. I'll just trim some of this hair off while the water's warming up.
You gonna be around town for a spell, Britt?
Just overnight, Alf. I'm due back to Square Moon tomorrow.
Well, I'd sure like to stay and chew the fat, but I'm due over to Gabe's Starbucks office.
Oh, say, how is he?
Hmm?
Gabe. Gee, I haven't seen hide or tail of him. Must be over 4 years.
Oh, that's right. You and him used to be real good friends, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, we sure did. It was Gabe Starbuck gave me my first pony.
Well, as a matter of fact, he's aging, Brett. He's aging fast.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. He's not down sick, is
he? No. No, Gabe wouldn't let himself get down no matter how he felt.
Uh-huh. What's he up to nowadays?
Same as ever.
Well, you mean he's still sheriff?
Yeah, he's still sheriff. At least he is today.
Oh?
Truth is, we had a meeting just last night. Decided the town's got to have a new sheriff. And that's what I'm going over to talk to Gabe about now.
Uh-huh.
You don't want it too short, do you, Mr. Ponsett? Fellow's in from Kansas City the other day. Says back there folks ain't cutting their hair so short anymore.
Well, you better trim it pretty close, Breezy. I may not be in a barbershop again for quite some time.
Whatever you say. Appears to me people around here don't want to be in style.
Nobody wants to get rid of old Gabe, Britt. The town's changed. Well, we got near 700 people living here now.
That many?
Yeah, there's a new bank, too. Maybe you saw.
Yes, I did, yes.
Not doing very good, though. Folks are afraid their money won't be safe. Oh, we haven't had any robberies, not for quite a spell. But as long as Gabe's sheriff, well, there's not much he could do to stop an outlaw if one did happen to come our way. You know, old Gabe being so old and all.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Doggone it, Britt. We all realize that we owe him an awful lot. Cleaned up Yellowcrest. Made it possible for decent people to live here. Of course, that was 40 years ago. Things are a lot different now. We gotta have us a new sheriff, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Does Gabe know you're planning on replacing him?
No, we ain't told him yet, but can't put it off much longer.
I see. It's gonna hurt him pretty bad, isn't it?
Well, how would you feel if it was your place, you give your life to a town, your whole life, and they say, we're sorry, but we gotta put you out to pasture. You're too old.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if he was to have a deputy.
Well, we talked about that. Town ain't rich enough to afford two salaries.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gabe's got a good, sensible head on his shoulders.
That's what I said, Mr. Ponsett. That's just what I said.
He probably won't like the idea of losing his job, not at first, but... He'll see that you don't have much choice in the thing.
Now, you just lean back. That's better. And be sure and tell me if this towel's too hot.
Ooh.
A little warm?
I guess I can stand it.
Real glad you don't think we're being too hard on Gabe, Britt. Say, gives me an idea. Well, seeing as how you understand the predicament we're in, about Gabe, I mean... Maybe you wouldn't mind sort of preparing him?
No, wait, just a minute, Alf.
Your old friend, you said so yourself. It'll be different having the news come from you.
No, it's none of my concern.
Here's another towel, Mr. Ponsett. Now, just lean back.
You're going to be seeing him anyway, Britt. Now, all you have to do is kind of lead the conversation around to him retiring, lay the foundation and And then later on, when everything's...
I won't do it, Al. Now, you're just wasting your breath. You just...
How in thunder am I going to get this lather on, Mr. Ponsett, if you keep moving around like
I'm
that?
I'm only asking you to talk to Gabe because, I have to say the wrong thing. You know me, Britt, always putting my foot in my mouth.
And hold still.
Now, Al, I tell you, you're not going to put...
Your own fault, Mr. Ponsett. Now, I told you to keep quiet.
Please, he's right. Just sort of take it easy, Britt, while I sort of explain what I had in mind. And then if you still aren't willing...
Well, between the shaving and the hot towels and Al harping at me, well, I... Not that I agreed to tell Gabe that Tom's getting a new sheriff. I didn't agree to that, mind you, but... All I said was that I'd sort of feel him out, see how the land was lying. Anyway, about 20 minutes later, I was coming along the boardwalk heading for Gabe's office. Huh. Well, it sure sounded like shooting to me. When I looked around, nobody seemed to be paying any attention. What's that? The fellows arguing politics over the post office steps, they didn't even stop to take a breath. And the ladies in Johnson's Mercantile, they went right on measuring yardage like they hadn't even heard it. Well, I was pretty sure where it was coming from now. I was right behind the sheriff's office. Opened the front door. No sign of Gabe. No sign of anybody, for that matter. And then I saw him. Right through the back window. And I saw why folks hadn't been very upset about the gunfire. Gabe was having himself a little target practice out there, aiming at a tin can sitting on a pile of lumber. It had just been 4 years since I'd seen him last, but... Oh, he looked good 10 years older. Smaller, too. He kind of shrunk and bent over with thin, yellow-gray hair and a long, bony arms that didn't seem to have much meat on them. Yeah. He sure wasn't having much luck hitting that tin can, either. Hello, Gabe.
Who?
No, it's Brett. Brett Parson.
I'll be doggone. Well, it's sure good to see you. Yeah, for a second there, I didn't recognize you. His son got my eyes. I blinded me, son.
Sure. How are you, Gabe?
Well, never better. Never felt better in my life.
Glad to hear it.
Well, I was just doing a little shooting.
Yeah, I saw you.
Well, not that I need any practice, you understand, Britt. But I was worried about one of my guns. I think it throws a little to the left.
I say,
Yeah, that's why I missed my last shot. In case you saw me miss it.
Well, a man can't hit anything if his gun's not working.
Yeah. Well, let's go inside where we can sit down and have us talk.
Fine.
Well, you're looking good, Britt. Real good.
Oh, well, a little older, maybe. Well, I guess that happens to all of us, doesn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Man's only as old as he feels.
Yeah.
Hey, just take that chair, Britt, over there.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. I'll sit by the window here. Where I can keep an eye out on the street.
I was kind of surprised to hear that you're still sheriff, Gabe.
Don't see why it should have surprised you.
Well, you know, you must be getting along, Gabe.
Well, I'm 64, Britt. 64 last spring.
Now, Gabe.
Well, might be 65. The family never kept no records. But I ain't no older than that. Don't look no older.
No.
Do I?
Oh, no. No. Huh. You still living alone?
Of course I'm still living alone. You think I need a keeper or something?
Oh, no. I was just wondering if you ever got a hold of that ranch you used to talk about. That's all. You remember?
Ranch?
Yeah, don't you remember that? When I was a kid, you always said someday you're going to have a ranch. After you'd retire from being sheriff, of course.
Oh, I still aim to do it. When the time comes, of course, there ain't no sense in thinking about it now.
Oh?
No. Yellowcrest is growing, Britt. Growing fast. That's when the town needs law and order the most. When it's busting its britches. And seeing as how I'm the only experienced lawman in these parts, well, it's my duty to stay on the job. I owe it to the folks here. Why, if I was even to think about retiring, well, They just wouldn't know what to do. They'd be plumb helpless. Well, I ain't got no choice, Britt. You know how it is.
Sure, Gabe. I know.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
WMFO Medford.
Or ruin it.
Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Gabe and me, sitting there in the office watching the wagons creak along outside the window. I guess we've about covered everything. Folks we'd known, old times. The only thing we didn't discuss was Gabe's retiring from sheriff. Anyhow, after I left him, I had supper and took a little stroll. Oh, it must have been about 9 o'clock when I got settled down for the night in my room in the Parker Hotel. The bed was real comfortable, a lot softer than those bunks out of Square Moon Ranch. Maybe that's why I had so much trouble dropping off to sleep. Yeah? Yeah, who is it?
Al Crandall. You asleep, Brent?
Oh, no. Come on in, Al. Oh, come on in. I'll just get this lamp turned over here. There we are.
I didn't mean to wake you. Ned Parker told me you only turned in a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I'll pull up a chair.
Thanks. You know, I was looking for you this evening after supper.
Well, I went for a walk.
Oh?
You were right, Alf. Yellow Crest sure has changed. That's a fine new church going up there by the creek.
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to find out a bit was whether you talked
to new buildings over south, too. Mighty fancy houses there. Some of them look like they're going to be two stories high.
Brent.
Over there. Yeah?
How'd he take it?
Why, how did he take what? Oh, you mean Gabe?
Well, who else would I mean? Well?
Well, I didn't tell him, Alf.
Huh?
I told you I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
I don't blame you, Britt. I shouldn't have asked you in the first place. It was my job.
I did kind of hint around once or twice, but I could see what it did to him. Just the idea of not being sheriff anymore. It's all he's got, Alf. He doesn't have a family and kids to worry about. Gabe's the sheriff of Yellow Crest, and if he ever stops being the sheriff, he won't be anything.
I know, Britt. I know, but what can we...
What's that?
The alarm bell. Must be a fire, I reckon. There's Mark Fawcett running down the street there. He'll know. Doggone, this window stuck tighter. Mark! Mark, up here, Mark! What are they ringing the bell for?
Somebody robbed the bank.
The bank?
We're meeting over at Sheriff's office.
Well, I guess it was bound to happen sooner or later, Britt.
Yeah. Hand me my pants, will you? The bell was still ringing when Alf and I rode up to Gabe's office. Everybody in town has heard of it by now. There were 10 or 12 men standing around the streets, others coming up from all directions. Gabe was standing right by his horse, right in the middle of things, taking charge. Well, there wasn't much doubt about it. He was still sheriff of Yellow Crest.
Britt, you boys know Britt Ponsett, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
What happened, Gabe?
Well, it was just an accident. I seen him. An accident, pure and simple. They was riding out of the alley from behind the bank, giving the horses a spur. Couldn't get a look at their faces, but the way they was riding, that made me suspicious.
Uh-huh.
So I thought maybe I ought to see if everything was all right at the bank. Went around to check. Back door was broke open, wide open. People scattered around inside. Jim Waterby's over there now trying to find out how much they took.
Didn't try to follow them, the outlaws.
Well, they was gone before I knew they was outlaws. Before I knew for certain, that is. But I seen which way they headed. East.
That don't make sense, Jay. They'd have to cross the Salt Flats if they went east.
Sure they was.
That's the way they went. Right toward the flats.
You must have been a-seeing things. Man would be a fool to strike out that way.
200 miles without a water hole.
Oh, I bet you turned off, went up in them hills.
Well, I'm the one who seen them, ain't I?
$2,500, Gabe. That's what they stole.
Oh, that's so, Jim.
Sack of gold and a sack of currency. Yeah. $2,500, as close as I can figure it.
Yeah, boys. Let's see if we can pick up the trail. Easy, Rusty, easy.
They'll determine to chase him out onto them flats.
Yeah, we want to catch him, don't we?
If we do, we got to use our heads, Gabe. Men smart enough to rob that bank ain't going to take a chance on dying out there in that salt. They'd go for the hills.
Mark is right, Gabe.
You tell me I can't believe my own eyes.
Well, it was pretty dark. Maybe you got confused. Maybe it looked like they was heading east.
Now, we're only wasting time arguing with him. Let's go.
I'm the sheriff of Yellow Crest. I'm running this posse, ain't I?
Gabe. We're riding toward the ridge.
All right. Come on, Rusty. Come on.
Gabe. Hey, Gabe.
You can't stop him, Brett. When he gets his mind set, nobody can stop him.
Guess this just proves we was right about Gabe. He ain't up to the job of being sheriff no more.
Yeah, I guess you're right, sure.
Okay, boys, I'll lead the way.
Yeah. Hey, come on, this, Brett.
Oh, you've got enough man without me.
Search yourself.
I watched them wind along toward the rise of the purple hills west of town. After a couple of minutes, night swallowed them up, and the hoofbeats trickled off into silence. All right, Scar, come on. I turned Scar east. It wasn't like Gabe to be stubborn about something as important as a bank robbery. Oh, I'll grant you, it didn't seem very sensible for a couple of bandits to take off across the Salt Flats. And Gabe's eyesight wasn't what it had been once, of course, but I just couldn't believe he'd be dead wrong. Scar threw up his head when the smell of salt hit his nose. He sure didn't like the idea of walking out into it. Easy, boy. Easy now. We're not going very far. Come on. Come on now. Nothing but white as far as you could see. Stretched out taut like a cavalry blanket. White salt picking up the moonlight and bouncing along ahead of us. The funny thing, though, there was only one set of hoof prints out there on the flats. Well, about 10 minutes later, I spotted Gabe. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. He wasn't riding very fast, so I slowed up. I figured it was just as well Gabe didn't see me. I didn't want him to think that I'd tagged along because I was worried about him, you know. And then the darndest thing happened. He swung his horse around and started backtracking. Here, boy. Come on. I eased Scar over behind a couple of gray boulders so we'd be out of sight. And Gabe came right toward us. At first, I thought he knew where we were. Then he turned his horse again and walked him out in the salt. And for a couple of minutes, I couldn't figure out what he was up to. It seemed to me like he was just wandering around, no purpose at all. And then the next thing that happened was even stranger yet. Gabe jerked his gun out of his holster and began firing. And he wasn't aiming at anything. He, as far as I could see, he was just shooting up into the sky. Yeah, he left off two or three more shots and then wheeled around and galloped past me on his way back to town. And I saw him reach in his saddlebags and bring out a couple of cloth sacks and hook them over his saddle horn. They were the kind of sacks banks use for carrying money. Well, there just wasn't any doubt about it now. The story of that bank robbery was something Gabe had made up out of whole cloth. Oh, somebody had broken into the bank, all right. Well, it wasn't an outlaw, though. It was Gabe. Well, I waited maybe 15 minutes. Then I heard the alarm bell start off again. The posse would pull up in front of Gabe's office. Bell must have brought him out of the hills. Gabe was handing the cloth sacks to Jim Waterby. I pulled up just in time to hear the tail end of what he was saying.
I ain't sure I hit him, you understand. This gun of mine's been thrown a bit to the left lately. But when I started shooting, they dropped these here bags and went galloping off. By the time I stopped to pick up the money, I reckon that's what's in them. Well, them outlaws was just plumb out of sight. Yes, sir. I figure there wasn't much need of chasing them no further. Like as not, they'll never make it cross us all anyway.
Now, you did right, Gabe. And it looks like it's all here. Every cent.
Hey, Rich, you hear what happened? Gabe caught up with the bandits, shot it out with them, and brung back what they stole.
Did he?
Yeah.
That don't seem possible. I'm having a head start and all.
Well, you know Rusty when I give him his head.
Well, maybe the bandits was lost. Maybe they didn't know about them flats.
Yeah, I reckon they didn't. I reckon that's it.
If they knew where the bank was, they'd know about that salt.
That's right. What are you getting at, Mark?
I don't know. There's something funny about this. There's two of them, you said, huh?
That's right.
Two of them against you?
Well, what's so funny about that? Many's the time I shot it out with more than two men.
That's right out there, boys, and have a look around.
Well, whatever you say, Mark.
Sure.
Hold on a minute. I think maybe I can save you a trip. The fact is, I was following Gabe. I followed him right out on the flats. And...
What?
Oh, I know you didn't see me, Gabe. I was behind you, but I could see you just plain as day.
Now, Britt, you gotta let me...
You mean you seen the gunfight, too?
Listen to me, Britt, listen to me.
Was he telling the truth, Britt?
Yeah, that's right, was he?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I never saw a fight like that before, not in my whole life.
Really?
What about the bandits, Britt? You get a chance to recognize them?
No, I'm afraid I didn't.
Didn't stick around, eh? Once Gabe started shooting?
Well, as a matter of fact, when Gabe was through shooting, well, it was like they hadn't even been there.
No.
I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was, all right. Just like they hadn't been there at all. I don't know how Gabe had found out that the town was talking about having a new sheriff. I guess he sort of sensed it. The way folks have been acting. Of course, after this holdup, well, they figured out maybe they could afford giving him a deputy. Jim Waterby, that's the banker, he put up part of the money, and then they didn't have much trouble raising the rest. I had a little talk with Gabe just before I left town. We didn't mention that night out on the flats, neither one of us. But he did give me his word that the next time there's any trouble, well, he'd let his deputy do a good share of the taking care of it. But the way things worked out, though, there haven't been any more robberies in Yellowcrest. Not one single solitary robbery. They say it's because of Sheriff Gabe. Outlaws just don't want to tangle with him. They all must have heard about what happened that time a couple of them tried to hold up the Yellowcrest bank.
I wonder.
That was Gabriel Starbuck. The original air date of that was the 22nd of November, 1953. I'm going to go ahead and play out the closing credits to the six shooter with Hal Gidley, and we'll follow the rest of this setup with some music to play out before Peanut Butter and Jams later.
The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Herb Vigran, John Stevenson, Lamont Johnson, Dal McKinnon, and Old Gabe was played by Bill Johnstone. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. And now, from all of us who each week bring you The Six Shooter, a special salute to NBC-affiliated station WGBF, Evansville, Indiana, on the occasion of their 30th anniversary. Happy anniversary, WGBF, and best wishes to all of your listeners. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
Our double billing today of The Shadow, The Three Ghosts, and Gabrielle Starbuck by The Six Shooter. You're listening to Along the Picket Fence by the Marysville High School Band, and a private sending to me here. They indicated I don't have anything queued up yet. We're going to play out some music here to round out the show. This one I've been sitting on for a while. Something I've greatly wanted to play. I hope everybody enjoys this one. It's Tom Lehrer, Poisoning Pigeons in the Park.
Here, a suffering is here. Life is Skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring. I do, don't you? Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me and makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. When they see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We've gained notoriety and caused much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our games. They call it impiety and lack of propriety and quite a variety of unpleasant names. But it's not against any religion to want to dispose of a pigeon. So if Sunday you're free, why don't you come with me and we'll poison the pigeons in the park. And maybe we'll do in a squirrel or two while we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We'll murder them all amid laughter and merriment, except for the few we take home to experiment. My pulse will be quickening with each drop of strychnine we feed to a pigeon. It just takes a smidgen to poison a pigeon in the park.
Year to come, the crooner's just waiting to sing. The old cow standing by the Bull Durham sign, just a-waiting for the grass to turn green. The barfly's waiting for an easy mark, the hitchhiker's waiting for a ride. The life-termer's waiting for prison break, the beachcomber's waiting for the tide. Farmer's daughter waiting for the salesman, to take her into town. The city slicker's waiting for the country boy to lay all his money down. You know, everything comes to a standstill. Nothing seems to make a turn. Worm must be waiting for the early bird. I guess the early bird's waiting for the worm. Nobody wants to do nothing, just waiting to get a finger in the pie. Waiting for a call from a big quiz show, or hoping and waiting for some rich uncle to die. Katie, she's waiting at the garden gate. The moonshiner's waiting at the still. And the gambler's still waiting for that ace in the hole. I guess Jack's still waiting for Jill. Everybody's waiting for something. Nothing seems to turn out right. Cause the night shift's waiting for morning. And the burglar just waiting for night. The congregation's waiting for the preacher. Preacher just waiting for the groom. And the groom's just waiting for the June bride. And the bride's just waiting for June. Sunflower's waiting for the sunshine. Violet's just waiting for dew. Bees just waiting for honey. And honey, I'm just waiting for you. Country just the other day to see my Uncle Bill and sort of pass the time away. I asked him how he'd been since last had passed his way, and he rubbed his chin. Here's what he had to say. My wife's been sick, the young'uns too, and I'm darn near down with the flu. The cow's gone dry and them hens won't lay, but we're still a-living, so everything's okay. The hawks took the cholera and they've all done died. The bees got mad and they left the hive. The weevils got the corn and the rain rotted the hay. But we're still a-living, so everything's okay. The porch rotted down, that's more expense. And the darned old mule, he tore down the fence. The mortgage is due and I can't pay. But we're still a-living, so everything's okay. The cow broke in the field and eat up the beans. The darn rabbits, they got the turnip greens. And my ma-in-law just moved in to stay. But we're still a-living, so everything's okay. My land's so poor, so hard and yeller. You have to set on a sack of fertilizer to raise an umbrella. And it rains out here nearly every day. But we're still a-living, so everything's okay. The well's gone dry and I have to tote the water up from the spring about a mile and a quarter. My helper, he quit with a lack of pay, but we're still a-living, so everything's okay. The house, it leaks, it needs a new top. When it rains, it wets everything we got. The chimney fell down just yesterday, but we're still a-living, so everything's okay. The cornmeal's gone and the meat's run out. Got nothing to kill to put in the smokehouse. The preacher's coming Sunday to spend the day, but we're still a-living, so everything's okay. The canned stuff's spoiled, else the jars got broke, and all we got left is one old billy goat. We're gonna have a new baby about the 1st of May, but we're still a-living, so everything's okay. My crop, it rotted in the ground. I asked for another loan, but the banker turned me down. But we're still a-living and we're praying for a better day. So after all, everything's in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was Everything's Okay. Hank Williams off the Moving On Luke the Drifter album. Preceding that was Just Waiting off of the same album, Moving On Luke the Drifter. And I started that little set off with Tom Lehrer, Poisoning Pigeons in the Park, which, like I said earlier, I've been dying to play that for some time. I got a couple of other... Well, I got one more song I can play here, My Boomerang Won't Come Back by Charlie Drake. Then I'll play out some Birdsong until Peanut Butter and Jam starts. I want to thank you for listening. This is Arthur on the Grand Hour, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Now here's a little story, to tell it is a must, about an unsung hero that moves away a dust. Some people make a fortune, others earn a mint. My old man don't earn much, in fact he's flipping skint. Oh, my old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. He wears gold blimey trousers, and he lives in the council flat. He looks a proper nana in his great big gobnail boots. He's got such a job to pull them up, but he calls them daisy roots. Some folks give tips at Christmas, and some of them forget. So when he picks their bins up, he spills some on the step. Now one old man got nasty, and to the council wrote. Next time my old man went round there, he...
My apologies on that. I queued up the wrong song. That would have been Lonnie Dugan, Dongan. But again, I'm going to play My Boomerang Won't Come Back. Sorry about that, folks.
Chief, on account of your son, Mac.
My boy, Mac? Why? What's wrong with him?
Our boomerang won't come back.
Your boomerang won't come back?
My boomerang won't come back. My boomerang won't come back. I waved the thing all over the place. Practiced till I was black in the face. I'm a big disgrace, the Aborigine race. My boomerang won't come back. I can ride a kangaroo.
Yeah, yeah.
Make kinkajou stew.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm the Aborigine race, my boomerang won't come back.
They banished him from the tribe then and sent him on his way. He had a backless boomerang, so here he could not say.
This is nice, isn't it? Getting banished at my time of life. What a way to spend an evening. Sitting on a rock in the middle of the desert with me boomerang in me hand. I should very likely get bushwhacked.
Ah! Get out of it, nasty bushwhacking animal.
Think I'll make a nice cup of tea. Good gracious. There goes a kangaroo. I must have a practice with me boomerang. Hit him right behind the left heel. Now then, slowly back.
If you throw that thing at me, I'll jump right on your head.
Isn't it marvellous? Put a land full of kangaroos and I had to pick that one.
For three long months he sat there, or maybe it was four. Then an old man in a kangaroo skin came a-knocking at his door.
witch doctor, son. They call me George Alfred Black. Now tell me, what's your trouble, boy?
My boomerang won't come back.
Your boomerang won't come back? My boomerang won't come back. My boomerang won't come back. I'll wave the thing all over the place. Practice till I was black in the face. I'm a big disgrace, the aborigine race. My boomerang won't come back. Don't worry, boy, I know the trick. And to you